Hello, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, the rush to judgment is worse than anything I've seen in recent memory. I'm telling you right now, what happened in Washington, D.C. in the last 24 to 48 hours is reprehensible. We're going to talk about that. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. I love hearing from all of you. Come to our Turning Point USA Student Action Summit, tpusa.com/SAS. That is tpusa.com/SAS. Our amazing speakers include Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, Donald Trump Jr., Rick Scott. It's going to be amazing. And Turning Point Action is hosting Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis right there in Tampa, Florida. So go to tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Check it out right now, /SAS. Our Student Action Summit is going to be epic. If you want to support the Charlie Kirk Show, go to charliekirk.com/support. That is charliekirk.com/support. And as always, you can email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. So we're going to say this a couple times, but yesterday we intentionally ignored what was happening with the committee. We had other stories that I thought were more important. Ghislaine Maxwell, her sentencing, gas prices, the porous and southern, open southern border, I should say. Just this testimony from Cassidy Hutchinson. I had developed kind of, quite honestly, a muscle memory to not really get into something, to really focus on it, until I have all the facts available in front of me. You see, throughout the years, we've been through many different stories where the media went instantaneously into accusation mode. And full transparency, one of the great teaching moments, one of the great learning moments for me personally, was in either January or February of 2019, I think it was January, the Covington Kid deal with Nicholas Sandman, where I was doing too many things at once. I was spending far too much time on Twitter, and I tweeted something such as, the Covington kids shouldn't have behaved the way they did. A stupid, dumb thing to tweet, because I didn't let all the facts come through. I didn't actually check the premise. I didn't challenge the media narrative. And that was such a teaching moment for me and a learning moment. I said, what am I doing here? Just kind of going along with the narrative for the narrative's sake? And I wrote a whole op-ed about it, but I actually learned from it. I decided that I was never going to do that again. I said, I'm not going to kind of ready, fire, aim. I said, we're just going to kind of let the facts come out. And I also learned that, man, when the media becomes so enthusiastic and so passionate about something so quickly, there's probably something they're withholding from us. And then a couple months later, the Mueller report came out. And it showed that Trump collusion was all a lie. And as I was growing in the movement and growing as a commentator and growing as a podcaster and growing as a host and growing as a leader of Turning Point USA, I said to myself, man, the next time the media wants me to get so excited about something, I'm just not going to do it. And I'm quite honestly thankful and thankful to God and thankful to all my mentors. We passed the COVID test. We refused to engage in the hysteria from day one. We passed the Floyd test. We refused to engage in the BLM nonsense from day one. In fact, we pushed back against it, which people thought was coming at great personal cost to us. And so every time the media starts to go into full coordination mode and they're almost wagging their finger at you, you must pay attention to this. You must pay attention to this. You must pay attention to this. I think this is a generally accepted principle to take a time out and pause and say, what are you doing, you annoying people? You smug and arrogant media members, why are you screaming at me again? Why are you bothering my day? Why are you disturbing my peace? What is this that you have? Lay it out factually. Do not use the pathos. the pathological arguments, the emotional arguments. Let's use some facts, some cross-examination. Let's yield to our reason, because reason is universal. Emotion is not, especially when you're talking about things that are so detailed and consequential. And so what happened yesterday, I have it built into my muscle memory now after COVID and masks and vaccines and Ukraine and all the mass hysteria that we live through. I just don't indulge in it. So I was hosting a show, as you all know, we were all doing this together. We had a wonderful show together. We were talking about how Democrats were infiltrating the Republican primary, and people were just emailing me. Charlie, you got to cover the Cassidy Hutchinson. Charlie, you have to cover the Cassidy Hutchinson. And I told my team, I said, look, let's just take a pause. Let's just look at what's really being said. Let's see if there's any kind of rebukes to this and find out. And boy, was that the right choice. I'm going to tell you exactly why. We were told to care. We were told yesterday that we had to care about what was happening in the January 6th committee. And so we decided to cover other stories. I've learned throughout the years that when the media is insisting that you cover a story, when the media is demanding that you engage with their rage, it's usually a bad idea. You see, I've learned throughout the years that the media, the narrative industrial complex, the regime, they prey on your emotions. They want early and enthusiastic comments to try to get people to see things not as they are, but how they feel them to be. I've fallen victim to this, as I mentioned, and I've wrote a whole op-ed about it. I was doing too many things at once. I didn't learn the lessons properly during the Covington Kids saga. I got the whole Covington Kids thing wrong. I believed the media on Twitter, and I said something to the effect of the Covington Kids shouldn't be doing what they were doing. Stupid, dumb thing to say. But boy, did I learn my lesson. When COVID came, when BLM came, when Floyd came, when Ukraine came, vaccines came, I didn't fall for any of the media bait. You could kind of feel it, right? As you grow and as you learn, there's a certain fever pitch that you have to kind of develop an ear to, where it kind of gets to a frequency and you say, nope, let's pause. Now, it doesn't inherently mean that everything that is being said is not true. Another example, by the way, would be Kyle Rittenhouse. When we refused to go along with the media, for example, when Black Rifle Coffee attacked Kyle Rittenhouse, we refused to go along with all of that. And so all these different examples where we were told we had to believe a certain thing, turns out there's more to the story. So yesterday, I intentionally avoided any mention of what was happening. I said, why on earth would I cover something where I can't validate, cross-examine, or find out if there's any truth to what is being said? Because these are some very significant things. And so basically, here's what happened yesterday. Yesterday, with an urgent pace, the committee put together a surprise hearing with a White House aide, her name, Cassidy Hutchinson. Now, I'd never heard of Cassidy Hutchinson before. I knew a lot of people in the White House. I knew a different Cassidy, who's one of the sweetest person people ever who worked in the White House and was super loyal to the country and loyal to President Trump. But this Cassidy, I had never heard of. Fine, whatever. I didn't know everyone in the White House. I didn't work there, just did some projects and happened to visit more times than not. So this person comes up and she starts to testify. And she says some very, very serious things. She says some things such as, for example, the kind of scintillating news-grabbing headline was the one that Donald Trump tried to hijack the presidential motorcade, otherwise known as the Beast. That Donald Trump, in all of his fury, in all of his anger, was so upset with what was happening. He wanted to go to the Capitol so badly that Donald Trump put his hand on the collar of a Secret Service agent, tried to take the steering wheel of the car, and the Secret Service had to push him back. I mean, I heard this. I said, wow, that's quite an accusation. Hey, Cassidy, have you ever been in the Beast before? Because I have. And that's literally impossible to do. I was thinking this while I was hosting the show yesterday. Because again, I'm processing all this. I said, I'm not going to cover this until I have time to really let all this set in. By the way, Previously, I was more immature with the way I reacted to things like I did with Covington. I would like to think this is a mature response. You wait a day, you think about it, you process it, you study it, you examine it. That's what adults do. Children immediately like, wow, oh my goodness, he hijacked the beast. I can't believe it. And then all it takes is someone to say, wait, hold on a second. You can't do that? There's a separation wall between the passengers and the Secret Service. It's physically impossible. Here's Cassidy Hutchinson saying that Donald Trump tried to create a new saga in the Grand Theft Auto series, otherwise known as Grand Theft Auto Capital City. Play cut 70.
Tony described him as being irate. The president said something to the effect of, I'm the effing president, take me up to the Capitol now. To which Bobby responded, sir, we have to go back to the West Wing. The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol. Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. And when Mr. Renato had recounted this story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
So that's a really serious accusation, right? I mean, you have a president of the United States that assaults his Secret Service agents? I mean, that's serious. I mean, wow. And by the way, who uses the word clavicles? He assaulted me in the clavicles. The first thing you say, like, wait, that's like super anatomically specific, by the way. Unless you're trained to say that. She was trained and coached, I think, to say that. So, okay, fine. She says this super serious accusation. And I knew it as soon as I heard it. It's just like, there's no way that's true. No way. I've been in the beast. You can't do that. And by the way, it's just not something I believe Donald Trump would do otherwise. And guess what? Without any opportunity to do so, they never even thought to ask the Secret Service, hey, is this true? Cut 71, the U.S. Secret Service issued a statement saying it's now prepared for agents to provide sworn testimony in relation to new allegations brought up in the January 6th committee. Play cut 71.
Agents are prepared to give sworn testimony in relation to these new allegations. Two sources familiar with the investigation tell me that when President Trump returned to his motorcade after giving that speech on January 6th, he requested that agents take him to the Capitol. Those sources told me that Robert Engel, one of the agents in the car, said something to the effect of that being unwise or dangerous and that the motorcade was going to return the president to the White House. A source close to the Secret Service tells me that President Trump was apparently not happy with that answer, but the agents in the car would push back against any allegation of an assault by President Trump and the allegation that he reached for the steering wheel.
So the Secret Service, which is traditionally not exactly seeking out media attention, they're typically silent professionals. That literally is in the name, Secret Service. They are so repulsed by this accusation that the Secret Service is now talking to the media. Again, it's not the public service. It's not the PR service. It's not NPR. They don't talk to the media as part of what they do. And they are now willing to go on the record. The Secret Service is now willing to go on the record and say, that did not happen. Now, not once did we think, did the committee think, say, hey, can we get a cross-examination of this? Can we get somebody to check this? Can we find out if this is true or not? And what's where we're going to now take this is, yes, we're going to keep on going through some of the other statements that were false, lying in front of Congress, lying under oath. But there's a deeper point, because I'm actually not shocked by the January 6th committee to do this. You should expect that. I expect this. What should shock you, though, and what should anger you, is all of the conservatives in media and in government that immediately, without question, without pause, took everything that they heard to be true. Oh my goodness, Donald Trump hijacked the presidential limo. He tried to put his hand on the steering wheel, one after the other after the other. Oh, and we're going to name names of these people. Because the people that many of you have watched or watch on television, without any moment of pause, bought everything that was being said that has now been revealed to be a lie. Look, we talk about current events a lot on this show, but there's other things that are in life that are bigger than current events, bigger things. We try to do some shows every so often on these things. But look, what am I talking about when I say that? How about good and evil, right and wrong, prayer and the Bible, or heaven and hell? So look, the great C.S. Lewis, who is one of the most amazing minds ever to exist, was a master at addressing these questions. And that is why Hillsdale College, the great college, the only college, in my opinion, wants you to learn more about him and his writings in their newest free online course, C.S. Lewis on Christianity. And it all starts with taking a short quiz to find out how much you already know about Lewis. He wrote more than the Narnia series, by the way. Look, Hillsdale College is amazing. They defend liberty. They pursue truth. They do a great job. So just write this down. This should be your go-to resource. Remember, I have taken 16 of their online courses, and I have promised Dr. Arn I'm eventually going to finish them all. Go to charlie4hillsdale.com to take this fun interactive quiz and then sign up for this free course. The answers may even surprise you, even if you think you know everything about C.S. Lewis. They surprised me, my goodness. The quiz, the course, and everything you learn at Hillsdale College are yours for free, as always. So take the C.S. Lewis quiz, charlie4hillsdale.com. That is charlie4hillsdale.com. Take as many online courses as you can. The Constitution course is amazing, but their C.S. Lewis course is extraordinary. And by the way, Hillsdale College, just phenomenal. charlie4hillsdale.com. As we were doing the program yesterday, we were getting some emails. Charlie, are you watching the committee hearing? Are you going to cut live to it? No. As a general rule and principle here is do your homework. Get into the weeds. Do some research. Take a breath. Don't trust the headlines. Cross-examine the major accusations. Don't be led away by the emotion of it. You see, this is a separate point, but it's important, which is I am a big believer that people should read their news before they watch their news. Now, I say this also as we have a television program and we have a podcast, but especially if you're trying to get down to the root of it. I personally am a big believer in reading the news. So when I read a New York Times article, I can add my own voice to it. I can pause on a word or not. But if you are watching a full-fledged CBS television program or ABC television program with the graphics and the red alert and the precise, emotionally charged language, you're being taken for a ride. Cut 73, while all this was happening, while we just basically ignored it and we said, take a time out. We'll cover this once we kind of figure out all the different pieces. Who is this woman? Never heard of her before. Figure it out. Everyone's saying we should talk about it. In due time, we will if it's a big enough deal. And by the way, just to give an idea of how seriously the activist media took this, it is the entire upper fold of the New York Times. That's how big of a picture it is. It says here, enraged Trump encouraged violence and sought to join mob, aide testifies. Well, is that true? Well, let's find out. But first, cut 73, Fox News' Brett Baer immediately described Hutchins' testimony as stunning and compelling. Play cut 73.
According to her testimony, he says, I'm the effing president, take me there, and then goes to grab at him. Listen, this testimony is, first of all, stunning because we haven't heard this. Two, it's compelling because of her proximity to power. All of these people directly having conversations with her. I think, as we've seen before, it's methodical. Mm-hmm. We always point out the caveat. There's not a minority here that's pushing back or questioning the other way.
No one pushing back the other way. It's saying that it was compelling and stunning. Continued by saying, on cut 74, that the January 6th testimony proves that we're not even close to being on the brink of losing our democracy because patriots resisted Trump's efforts. Back and forth here on Fox News. Play cut 74.
Listen, the premise here from the chairman, Benny Thompson, and Liz Cheney, is that we were on the brink of losing our democracy. If anything, I think this testimony shows not only the Arizona House Speaker, all of the state officials, these officials in DOJ who, again, were working for President Trump, stood up saying we have an oath to the Constitution.
But if one of them had buckled, it would be a very different
100%. Moment, right?
Now, I refuse to attack Neil Cavuto. He was very good to me early in my career. I mean that. He was very generous to me and had me on, and it was a big part of Turning Point USA growing. But he's totally off base here. But I'm not going to attack Neil Cavuto. Why is it that people were so fast and so quick to get into the narrative on the right? Why is it that we were so quick on the right to believe everything that was being said? For example, Cassidy Hutchinson said that she wrote a note of how Trump should respond to this. That she wrote something in particular, but it turns out that she actually didn't write that note. It turns out that the handwriting is somebody else's, and the note in question actually wasn't written by her. Joel Pollack has 8 bombshells from Hutchinson's testimony are all duds. For example, she said that, well, Donald Trump knew about the risk of violence before January 6th. Well, so did the president himself, which is why he approved the use of the National Guard to secure the Capitol beforehand, and Nancy Pelosi declined the use of the National Guard, calling them stormtroopers. So that's not a bombshell. We're being told it's a bombshell, but it's a mockingbird media strategy to try to have us believe that it's something that it actually isn't. This, how about this one? White House counsel raised concerns about Trump's speech. Well, we already knew that from prior testimony. Though in a general sense, it is completely unremarkable. The job of legal counsel is to raise concerns about almost every speech. If you ever dealt with an in-house counsel, God bless them all. But their job is to say no and to try to bring you down to a place where it is safe harbor. And it's the entrepreneur or the speaker's job to push boundaries on that. That's normal. But there is even more, including an op-ed that is so incredible, written by someone that you probably see on TV quite often. Look, how long can we endure this skyrocketing inflation? Millions of Americans can no longer afford to put food on the table or gas in their tanks. If you're feeling the pain, here's how to fight back. Get yourself some long-term emergency food from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest preparedness company and self-reliance company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers and more than 55,000 4-star and 5-star reviews. My Patriot Supply is a phenomenal company. In fact, we are 9 meals away from anarchy. Remember, 9 meals away from anarchy. So right now, save $150 on their 3-month emergency food kit by going to preparewithkirk.com. That is preparewithkirk.com. Look, the kit contains breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks. That's over 2,000 calories a day per day for 3 solid months. What are you doing to protect your family against the tyrants, the autocrats? When it comes to food, do not hope your way to being able to be well-fed. Hunger can destroy a family. Get one kit for each person. What if food shortages continue? What's your plan? Hope? There's no limit to how many you can order. So make sure you have this food stocked for when you need it. Get it today at preparewithkirk.com. Preparewithkirk.com. You'll save $150 and get free shipping. Write it down. Go to the website right now. You might be on the bike. You might be in the car. You might be walking the dog. Just remember, preparewithkirk.com. I vetted their stuff. It's amazing. I got piles of it in the next room. Preparewithkirk.com. When will the center-right media ever learn to pause before trying to seize a Twitter moment or a validation from the regime? It's a remarkable thing. And again, it's one thing to do it once and then correct it. I've been there, done that. And then you grow and you learn and you say, I'm never going to fall for that again. And praise God. We didn't do that with lockdowns. We didn't do that with COVID. We didn't do that with vaccines, the Floyd stuff, the BLM stuff, the stimulus stuff, the massive spending bills. At every turn, we made very bold predictions and stances against the regime narrative, which actually ended up to be true. And you grow and you mature. However, it seems as if there are people that used to have rather significant positions in our government that never learn this. One of whom is a guy who is a very intelligent person, no doubt. He's probably far smarter when it comes to, obviously, legal expertise and the ability to write and communicate than I am. But he's looking like a fool today. And that is Andy McCarthy. Andy McCarthy has been phenomenal on television on some things recently in the last couple of years. But he immediately, instantaneously came out with this story. By the way, as the story was starting to get debunked and unraveling, he still published this, which goes to show the bubble that he's living in. This is Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony against Trump is devastating. Now, I hope you know who Andy McCarthy is. Andy McCarthy is not just some sort of legal analyst, but he's become one. He's not just some sort of columnist. He served as the assistant United States attorney for the Southern District of New York. That's right. As the assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York. So, for example, Andy McCarthy said, quote, "It's worse than America thought. Even Americans with extraordinarily low expectations about the former president previously undisclosed behind-the-scenes behavior during the hours when the riot unfolded. Skillfully led through a prosecutor-style direct examination by committee chairwoman Liz Cheney, Hutchinson explained that Trump was a wild beast at the Ellipse shortly before his gasoline-on-fire speech. The security personnel had set up mags for entry into the area that thinned the throngs proximate to the podium where he'd be speaking. Trump was ballistic because of the effect of the shot, the video image of the speech that would go to the world. He wanted an overflowing crowd." What's amazing, though, is Andy McCarthy is believing everything she's saying despite the multiple lies that have now been revealed. "I thought you were a prosecutor one day, man. Didn't you used to do this for a living? You don't just trust a witness. You have to cross-examine them. You have to try to poke holes in their argument. You just don't take a cable news hearing and write an op-ed. This is a recklessly irresponsible thing to do." It's the same sort of behavior that smeared Kyle Rittenhouse. It's the same behavior that smeared Nicholas Sandman. It's the same behavior that made us believe Jussie Smollett. It's the same behavior that made us believe Christine Balzé Ford. It's the same behavior that continues to indict the innocence of millions of people, and just specifically the people I just mentioned. Again, he's a super smart guy. He was hired as a prosecutor in the Southern District and worked for the U.S. attorney for the district, Rudy Giuliani, at the time. He led the successful prosecution of Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman and 11 others for planning out and carrying out the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Praise God, I'm glad Andy McCarthy did that. But what he's doing right here is preemptive and it's reckless. He continues by saying here in this piece, Hutchinson recounted that after numerous discussions among this White House staff and security officials that it was settled that Trump would not go to the Capitol, which is to say underlings made the call without the boss, the president would being on board. Trump, however, did not care what his subordinate said. He said, "I'm the effing president." Gliding on the energy of his Ellipse speech, Trump told the throngs that they'd soon be marching to the Capitol and that he'd be going with them. Andy McCarthy does not mention that he said peacefully and patriotically. The piece continues by repeating the lie that Donald Trump grabbed the agent. And it goes all the way through and it ends with this. "This is what we learned today. Things will not be the same after this." Why? Why will things not be the same after this? Yeah, I mean, they won't be the same where hopefully more people won't be duped by this sort of thing ever again. But the media did what the media did, and it creates this echo chamber. And it's reinforced. And the echo chamber by the Mockingbird media just intensifies. By the way, we went through this with Bob Mueller. We went through this with the first impeachment call, with the perfectly fine phone call with Ukraine. We went through this at every single turn. And yet we just kind of get back into this same, we get led down these rabbit holes that turn out not to be what we were told they were at all. In fact, directly the opposite of what we were told. Let's play this piece of tape here. Let's go to cut 75.
"This testimony was very compelling from beginning to end. She obviously had access to all of the players. We are now hearing from the former president on various posts where he questions her accuracy. He goes after her directly, says he doesn't know who she is, and said he didn't lunge at the Secret Service agent in the Beast. Cassidy Hutchinson is under oath on Capitol Hill. The president is on Truth Social making his statements. What was so compelling, I think, is how it was laid out. But the testimony in and of itself is really, really powerful."
Thank you for reminding us, Brett, that she's under oath. That only makes it the possible penalty of what she just committed even greater. Because now the Secret Service, who never comments on things publicly, says that's all a lie. It's all a lie. But it's not just Andy McCarthy. It's also former Trump White House Chief of Staff, Mick Mulvaney. As I wrote the book, The MAGA Doctrine, I'm a massive supporter of President Trump and what he got done. But I believe the greatest and most legitimate kind of piece of frustration from the Trump administration is some of the snakes that were given platforms within the Trump White House. I hear this from all of you. You guys email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. I love Trump. Why did he put these people into place? Now, some of it is just you have to fill all these positions. Some of it, they lied to it. If Trump gets a second term, he better get this sorted out. I'm telling you what. I say this as someone who remains loyal and a massive fan. Mick Mulvaney, former White House Chief of Staff, says, "My guess is that before this is over, we'll be hearing testimony from Ornato, Engel, and Meadows. This is explosive stuff. If Cassidy is making this up, they'll need to say that. If she isn't, they'll have to corroborate. I know her. I don't think she is lying." Immediately playing into it. And where does Mick Mulvaney now work? Works for CBS News. His new employer is CBS News. Look, very weak people with miserable personal lives, they just seem to be so quick to go sell themselves out. And now you have, and it's very hard to backtrack all of this now because you have all this testimony and this hoopla, and some people don't go as deep as they should. And now we have to spend literally our entire hour, we now have to spend on this, cross-examining it and all of this. And a lot of it is a waste of time. It is. It's not some, I don't want to have to spend all this time going through, was Donald Trump in the Beast or was he in the SUV? It's not a good use of anybody's time, including yours. We have a wide open southern border. We have parents being called domestic terrorists by our government. We have an experimental gene therapy that is being called a vaccine that is being pushed on six-month-year-olds. We have still massive hyperinflation. We have a proxy war going in Ukraine, which is not, it's not happening what we're being told happening. We have Republicans that very well might sell us out on immigration. We're going to get on that story as well. But now we have to spend all this time on whether or not Donald Trump threw food on a wall? That's right. That's the new piece of accusation. Play cut 76.
Around the time that I understand the AP article went live, I remember hearing noise coming from down the hallway, so I poked my head out of the office. I saw the valet walking towards our office. After Mark had returned, I left the office and went down to the dining room, and I noticed that the door was propped open, and the valet was inside the dining room changing the tablecloth off of the dining room table. He motioned for me to come in and then pointed towards the front of the room near the fireplace mantel and the TV, where I first noticed there was ketchup dripping down the wall and there's a shattered porcelain plate on the floor. The valet had articulated that the president was extremely angry at the Attorney General's AP interview and had thrown his lunch against the wall.
Ketchup dripping down the wall. Not quite a blue dress, but it happens to be the same room. Ketchup dripping down the wall. Impeach him. Are the American people moved by this? MSNBC, why Cassidy Hutchinson's January 6th testimony blew the roof off Trump's defense. We don't know what Trump's defense is. This has been completely one-sided. There has been no cross-examination. As the great Jonathan Turley, and to defend Jonathan Turley, he's been excellent. I don't know what he did yesterday, but I didn't see anything out of him. Been very impressed with Jonathan Turley, where he said, boy, I would have made for a great prosecutor if I never had to have defense attorneys in the room. That's a great quote. Now, according to Google Trends, the only place yesterday where the interest in the January 6th committee outweighed gas prices was in Washington, D.C. Gas prices and gasoline is the number one issue for Google Trends, not total, but weighed against other political issues. Only in the kingdom, only in Washington, D.C. was what happened yesterday bombshell news. I can tell you right now, people are worried about paying their bills. They're worried about the quality of their kids' education. They're worried about CRT and transgenderism being taught to their 5, 6, or 7-year-old. Not worried about whether or not Donald Trump threw a hamburger against the wall and ketchup dripped down the walls. Nor are they moved by any sort of story that says, yeah, Donald Trump tried to hijack the beast, which is impossible, despite the fact he was also not even in the beast. He was in the SUV, separate vehicle, separate mode of transportation for a president. So Mick Mulvaney, you have Andy McCarthy rushing to judgment. Now, I do want to make one point here that is a positive, and I am not a fan of social media at all. I've deleted all social media apps off my phone. I get most of my information directly from Telegram. Telegram is great because there's no filter, no BS. You get the links. You can look at it directly. None of that nonsense. However, I do want to say one thing that's a positive of social media. If we did not have social media yesterday in particular, this narrative would have gone completely unchecked. It would have been incredibly difficult for us to be able to get the information into the zeitgeist and cross-examine it as quickly as we did. Social media allowed millions of people, patriots, that said, this doesn't sound right. This isn't right. He wasn't in the beast. And amazingly, it was this small d democratized operation where people in their basement or people on their porch enjoying a cup of coffee, for example, someone literally went and found the C-SPAN feed and found out that Trump wasn't in the beast that day. That wasn't CBS, that wasn't ABC, that wasn't MSNBC. They didn't decide to do any of that work. No, it was probably just some guy in the porch that tweeted out like, hey, I just went to the C-SPAN feed and Trump wasn't in the beast. The Secret Service comes out immediately, that gets amplified and it starts to go out. And now this morning, when I watched some of the news, completely different tone. All of a sudden, the news is saying, hey, the Secret Service is debunking this part. Hey, they're saying you actually didn't write this note. Hey, they're saying you actually weren't in the room for this. That's what the power of cross-examination is. You see, when you're not able to cross-examine witnesses, everybody sounds terrific. It sounds unquestioned. The founders gave us a process to be able to handle this, and we've just thrown that completely and totally out the window. But I am really encouraged. I think it's a phenomenal and positive development at how the conservative movement, especially online, and many of you are doing this, you find a narrative and you say, I don't remember that. And that's why when I tell you, email me freedom@charliekirk.com, you might remember something, you might see something, you might hear a story, and then you could get it to me and we can get it out to millions. And all of a sudden, we're more agile. We are now, we have a direct connection to the people and we have the collective brain power of millions of patriots to be able to debunk this stuff in real time with the actual access to technology to be able to communicate to millions of people in real time. If we were just reliant on NBC, ABC, and CBS News and Andy McCarthy, we would just be like, wow, what a testimony. Donald Trump tried to hijack the car. That's bad. Wow. And then we'd have to send out those tweets that we always send out where it says, you know, I voted for Donald Trump. However, this is a deeply concerning testimony that is worthy of further examination. I denounce this. This is like repulsive, vomit-inducing tweets from the weak-kneed, low-testosterone, center-right media apparatus, which is always like, I'm such a good person because I've never tried to hijack the beast. It's like, actually, that's all a lie. And you, when you communicate, when you watch the news, I want to encourage you and tell you and empower you that it's actually the grassroots that are helping counter a lot of these narratives. They come up with a narrative and they now have to come against the millions of patriots that can fact check them, cross-examine them, and actually have memories of things that used to happen. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.